Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Carl, thank you very much for that. Taoiseach Simon Harris has told The Dáil that the travel ban on Tori Towey, the Irish woman who is facing criminal charges in Dubai, has been lifted. Ms Towey's case was raised in The Dáil yesterday by Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, who said the 28-year-old could not leave Dubai after she was attacked in her home and faced charges of attempted suicide and alcohol consumption. We're going to take a listen now to some of what Mary Lou MacDonald raised in The Dáil, but I do want to advise listeners that the next clip may be distressing to listen to.
I want to raise the emergency case of Tori Towey. She's a 28-year-old Taoiseach. She's living in Dubai. She has been a victim of the most gross domestic violence. Her passport has been destroyed. There was a travel ban imposed on her. She had gone to the authorities seeking protection many times, but to absolutely no avail. But following one particularly severe beating in which her husband repeatedly tried to slam doors on her arms and break her limbs, she escaped upstairs and she attempted to take her own life. Unfortunately, Tori now faces charges in Dubai of attempted suicide and the abuse of alcohol. The system over there, rather than protecting this woman who is an Irish citizen, chose instead to detain her, to charge her.
The Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, has said Ms Towey and her mother would hopefully be leaving Dubai as quickly as possible and that arrangements are being made for them to return to Ireland. Well, shortly before coming on air, I spoke with Tori's aunt Anne Flynn, and I began by asking her about Tori's reaction when she found out she could travel home.
We were talking to her and her mother since we got the news. They are excited and thrilled, but still a little nervous. And they said until they're in the air, they won't be completely happy, you know, or feeling safe.
So where are they now, and how are they going to get home, do you know?
Well, we're not sure. The embassy was going to be dealing with them, and we haven't heard what flight they're on. They didn't know themselves when they would be getting a flight. So we don't know if it'll be tonight or tomorrow that they'll be landing. But we're just waiting for the news to know when they are landing or when they will get a flight. So things are still a bit up in the air, but at least the news is good.
And when you say they're just nervous about, you know, they won't feel fully safe until they get into the air, I imagine that's based on the experience that Tori has had over the last couple of weeks in particular, as opposed to any indication that she might actually be kept there.
Well, you know, I think it's just in case. You never know whether there could be something else brought up against her, or, you know, you just don't know. We're just hoping that everything goes to plan. And with the Irish government, they've worked tirelessly over the last 24 hours. So really, I suppose we're just being a little cautious. Mm. We just want things to go well. Like, you know, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris and Mary Lou and Claire Crawn, you know, all the ministers and TDs, they've worked so well for us. And we're not the type of people that ask for help, but this has been amazing.
When did you ask for help, Anne, or when did the family ask for help?
It's only 24 hours ago.
Okay.
Yesterday morning, we got word from Caroline that Rhoda Sterling had been in, was, you know, told them to go ahead and get as much publicity as possible. And up to that, we weren't saying anything. We knew what was going on, but we just weren't saying anything. And then we were told to put it out there. So straight away, we were online putting it on Facebook. And, you know, the media was fantastic. You know, it was all the journalists and everything. They've been so good to us, and
it's been a real whirlwind 24 hours then, by the sounds of things.
Oh yeah.
Do you know, have the charges against Tori been dropped?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of, but that she's been allowed to travel. So I don't really understand what that means.
Okay. So is she concerned, or maybe she hasn't had time to think about this yet, but is she concerned that she may get home here to Ireland and that she would still be pursued in the courts in Dubai?
I haven't a clue what she's thinking in that way. I think at the moment, all she wants to do is get on the plane, and start again.
And can you remind us, when did she move to Dubai, and what was she working at over there?
She moved to Dubai in April 2023. She had got work in as a stewardess in Emirates, and because she loved travelling and she had done a lot of travelling herself, and then she got this opportunity, and it was a lifelong dream, you know. So now she loved Dubai, and Emirates have been really, really good to her and very helpful. So, you know, but it was just her dream to travel. She loves traveling, and she had a lot of good friends and in Dubai.
Will she continue working with the airline, do you think?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't think she's even thought that far. Yeah. But they have. I must admit, what I have heard, they've been exceptional towards her, and done everything they can for her.
I imagine it's obviously an enormous relief for Tori herself, but also your sister, Tori's mother, that she'll also be able to come home and her family here back home.
Oh gosh, yes. Because, you know, you're out in a foreign country, you don't know what kind of expenses you're going to need. And, you know, they had got an Airbnb, and the two of them were together. So at least they had that companionship, and Caroline knew Tori was safe while she was with her. And, you know, it was very, very tough. It's very hard on a young person to have to go through this. But it's very hard for anybody to go through it. But now that we get her home, we hope that she'll resume her old self. And like she was all into keep fit and style, and like all young people today.
Mm. So she gets, as you say, a chance to come home and start again. And I'm sure friends and family will be rallying around her when she gets home.
Oh, yes. Definitely. I said, once they're feeling up to it, we're going to have a party, and all the family will be back together, and, you know, a tight unit. We're a very close family.
And nobody expects something like this to happen, and do they, to themselves?
No. This is something you watch on a film. You don't expect it to be in your life, you know? It's just a film. But reality came to bite. So yes, it's been an eye-opener.
Okay, well, we wish her very safe travels, herself and Caroline, and we hope that they get that flight as quickly as possible. And Anne, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this evening.
And thank you to all the media. You know, it's really amazing what has been done.
Well, for some further reaction to this, we're joined now by Sinn Féin TD Claire Curran and human rights barrister Keelan Gallagher, and you're both very welcome to the programme. Claire, I'll come to yourself first, and I wonder, have you been in contact with Tori yourself this evening?
Yes, Sarah. Tori texted me just earlier this afternoon, God bless her, just to say thank you and just to tell me how relieved she is, and that we'll hopefully meet up when she comes home, which I intend to do. This is obviously good news. It's been a terrible and difficult time for her mother and for her family. And I'm just relieved that, you know, politics has done right in this situation. We came together, we did the right thing, and good has prevailed. And I'm very grateful that that's the situation now this evening.
And when did you first become aware of Tori's case, Claire?
I was actually tagged yesterday morning on Twitter on the Detained in Dubai had an article. Many people will have seen it was the initial article in news that really broke this story. I was tagged in something and I recognised Tori because she grew up in my hometown and I would have known of her and her family. And just when I spotted her face, I knew it was her. And I got speaking to her then yesterday morning after seeing that, along with my party leader, Mary Lou MacDonald. We had a conversation with her and her mother yesterday. And Sarah, it really went from there, you know.
As Anne was outlining to us, it's been a whirlwind 24 hours for the family, and they're so happy that it appears to have been resolved, or at least that she's going to get out and get home safely. Do you know Tori at all then yourself from your hometown?
Yes, I mean, I know of her. I wouldn't have been in that many circles with her. She's a few years younger than me, but I would have known her from around the town when we were younger. She obviously went on to Dublin and obviously went on to Dubai, and I went on as well. And I suppose things move on, but I look forward to seeing her now when she comes home.
All right, Claire Curran, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We have Ciarán Gallagher, as I mentioned, also on the line. And I know, Ciarán, you've worked on cases in the past quite similar to this. Can you outline the process? How does this work?
Yeah, of course. Well, the first thing to say is that there simply isn't a fair process, unfortunately, in UAE. And there's a really fundamental mismatch between, you know, the influencer-pushed ultra-modern facade, the kind of glitzy image that's promoted to tourists of seven-star hotels and designer shopping and so on, and the reality, because what we see in UAE is really horrendous human rights abuses hidden behind a progressive facade. So over the years, I've worked in a number of cases and know of a number of others which involve women, for example, reporting rape, who are then arrested themselves and even charged and convicted for adultery. There's a number of quite well-known cases, including a British woman in 2016 who was gang raped, a Norwegian woman who was raped on a business trip. And when they reported to authorities, instead of being treated as victims, they were treated as perpetrators. And of course, in UAE, same-sex relationships are also illegal. So there's many examples of men being arrested, and one horrendous example of a teenage boy who was gang raped being arrested and prosecuted himself for same-sex activity. So this, unfortunately, this is a shocking case. I know it's come as a real shock to the Irish public, but it's not actually that shocking to me or to others who work on UAE arbitrary detention cases, I'm afraid to say.
And in this case, it seems to have all happened very quickly once the government got involved and the embassy got involved. Does that make a big difference when government and embassies get involved?
A short answer is it makes a huge difference. So I'd like to pay tribute to the work of Detained in Dubai, who've been helping Tori's family, but also the work of the Irish government, Micheál Martin, the brilliant ambassador, and her team in the UAE, who I know kicked into gear very, very quickly. And look, we know from other cases that there is a window early on in these cases where you can have an effect quickly. We saw that earlier in the year with my client Yasser El-Jabouri returning from Iraq, and in fact returning from Iraq via the UAE, where we had very good support from the same embassy staff. And the bottom line is, in these cases which involve arbitrary detention by countries like UAE, which trade on their image and who want to whitewash or influencer wash their image and pretend that they're progressive places, as soon as you shout from the rooftops about what's happening in a case like this, they can be very quick to try and shut it down and ensure that the case is resolved and goes away and is removed from the headlines. And that, of course, can result in a situation like this, where I hope we're going to see Tori home very, very soon and back to her family, who must be terrified by what's happened.
Yeah, you may have heard Anne there saying that Tori and her mother Caroline just can't relax until they get on the plane, and they don't have the details of those flights yet. Are they right to be worried that they won't feel safe till they get in the air?
I'm afraid that's right. You know, until it's wheels up and you're out of the airspace, your heart is always in your mouth in these cases. And, you know, some of your listeners may remember when I acted for Ibrahim Halawa in Egypt, for example. You know, you had the period when he's out of custody, but then you need to actually get him through the airport and get him safely home. And this happens in all of my cases which involve arbitrary detention in countries which simply are not complying with the rule of law. You know, the first thing is to get them out of custody and to get their passport returned and to get a travel ban lifted. But the actual nuts and bolts of ensuring that they physically get out of the country, they get through airport security, they're not detained again, it is entirely understandable that Tory's family remain anxious. And I hope they're going to hear those magic words, wheels up shortly and she'll be home.
Finally, Keelan, and briefly, if you don't mind, Anne was saying that she doesn't know if the charges against Tory have been dropped. We don't have clarity on that yet. I don't know, what's your experience in these sorts of cases? Are the charges normally dropped? And if they're not, how are they pursued when the person is back home in Ireland?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know the details of Tory's own case, so I can't say. And I'm afraid I'm going to give you a very lawyer's answer, which is it depends.
Okay.
So in some of these cases with UAE, what I have seen is that people have been released and have been allowed to leave the country, but then charges proceed against them in their absence. And that's happened in a wide range of cases, not just the kind of cases I've spoken about involving rape, for example, but also things like people who've been arrested for having prescription drugs like anti-anxiety medication, or people who've been targeted in other ways. So I simply don't know what the terms are and whether the charges have been dropped, or whether when she's home, there will continue to be charges in her absence against her in Dubai. That's something which she'll need to discuss with her own legal advisors.
All right, Keelan Gallagher, thank you very much for joining us.